Take a look at that and his emotional goodbye in our international press review with Leo McGuinn. Leo, how's the Spanish press reacting to that goodbye to Rafael Nadal?
An emotional goodbye, as you say, Eve. And the Spanish press is full of thank yous this morning. This is Marca, Spain's biggest sports newspaper. The front page just says, gracias, gracias, Rafa. You can see an emotional Nadal on the front page there, who lost his final ever singles match yesterday in the Davis Cup as Spain lost to the Netherlands. This is AS, the country's other big sports newspaper. They say it's been an honour. L'Equipe had called him the final tears as the curtain comes down on a quite extraordinary career. And it's a career full of remarkable numbers. I'll bring you through a few of them as seen in L'Equipe this morning. They call him an alien on clay, of course, a surface he dominated on for over 20 years. He won 63 titles on clay, a lot more than anyone else. That includes, of course, a record 14 French Open titles, a tournament where he had a 96.5% success ratio, something that's hard to ever see being matched. He also won at Roland Garros, and the four presidents, they note, Chirac, Sarkozy, Hollande and Macron, that kind of shows his longevity. L'Equipe points out that he wasn't only great on clay, he won over 1,000 matches over his career for 92 titles, which of course included 22 Grand Slam titles and an Olympic gold medal. He ended five seasons ranked as the world's number one and spent over 900 consecutive weeks in the world's top 10, as well as 200 as the world's number one. On top of that, he earned over $134 million in prize money. It's the end of an era, and Rafa Nadal will go down as not only one of the greatest tennis players ever, but one of the greatest athletes of all time.
Definitely a pretty impressive record there, Leo. But meanwhile, moving to the UK, some 10,000 farmers are protesting at Westminster against a new inheritance tax.
There's only one story making the front pages in Britain this morning, and actually only one man on the front page of most newspapers. That's Jeremy Clarkson. You can see him on the front of The Independent there, as well as The Telegraph. He's kind of become the unofficial spokesman for farmers during these protests. They're protesting a 20% new inheritance tax on farms valued above £1 million. The Telegraph have the headline, PM claims BBC have backed him over farm raid. At the protest, Clarkson accused the BBC of having bias. He had a heated row with Newsnight's Victoria Derbyshire. She asked him about his previous claim that he'd only bought a farm in order to avoid paying inheritance tax, a question that Clarkson certainly took umbrage to. He then asked the crowd, since when was BBC the mouthpiece for this infernal government? I'll bring you two very different pieces, one from the more right-leaning press, one from the more left-leaning. I'll start with the right, with The Times. They say that the threshold of £1 million is simply too low. The budget proposals will catch a substantial number of ordinary families and not the intended big businesses. So that's The Times. What about The Guardian, the more left-leaning press? They assert that big landowners must pay their share, given that farms were previously exempt. They say it's not surprising that people are upset, because of course very few people want to pay more tax, but this was unavoidable. Farmers are a highly privileged group. Between 2018 and 2020, nearly £600 million in inheritance tax relief went to about 200 estates with an average value of £6 million. Each claimed more than £1 million in relief. Even once the changes are brought in, agricultural land will be taxed at 20%, half the rate of other assets. This article ends by saying the key moving forward is that Labour do listen to farmers to avoid farmers being harnessed by the far right, as they are in France as well as the Netherlands.
Interesting. Let's move across to the United States. Donald Trump has been nominating more members of his incoming team and causing more controversy.
Well, according to the Washington Post, Trump is completely ignoring transition rules as he gets ready to become the new president of the United States. The transition team have begun what close allies call a hostile takeover of the federal government. For example, Trump has yet to collaborate with the General Services Administration. His transition team have yet to set foot in any federal offices. In calls with foreign heads of state, Trump has cut out the State Department, its secure lines, and its official interpreters. According to those close to the transition, the approach is based on Trump's distrust and resentment government or federal agencies that he's accused of blocking his agenda in his first term. And of course, there's been a lot of controversy over the president-elect's choice for his cabinet. We can see in the Wall Street Journal, he's named Mehmet Oz, better known as Dr. Oz, as his he'll be leading Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and will work closely with Robert Kennedy Jr., who will lead the health service. Oz trained as a surgeon before becoming a famous TV doctor. He's been heavily criticised in the past for promoting miracle cures. But the most hotly debated of all of Trump's nomination has to be Matt Gaetz. And we can see in the New York Times this morning, a hacker has gained access to a file with damaging testimony about Gaetz. The file is set to include sworn testimony by a woman who said that she had sex with Gaetz in 2017 when she was only 17 years old. The file are currently under seal with the Justice Department, which investigated Gaetz previously but didn't press charges. The hacker couldn't be traced, and it's not known whether they will leak what they hacked. If they do, it could spell trouble for Trump and Gaetz. It would take just four Republicans to vote against his nomination in the Senate, and more than that, have already raised questions about his appointment.
OK. Leo McGuinn with the International Press Review. Thanks indeed for that.